All right, Alexander, let's go back to Belarus from Zero Hedge. Until you kill me, there'll be no other election. Belarus, Lukashenko defiant as strikes and protests spread. So, Alexander, Lukashenko is under tremendous amount of pressure to step down. I mean, from what I understand, people who are working in the factories, in the main factories, are asking him to step down. TV stations are on strike. Huge protests on Sunday. Massive protests on Sunday, actually. And the other interesting development is that the opposition candidate who is in Lithuania at the moment, she has said that she is now ready to govern, which is kind of a change of tone from the way she was campaigning, saying that if she won, she would just call for another election. So a lot has changed. Get into this story, Alexander.
I think the thing to say, first of all, about Lukashenko is that he's still there. He's still the president. He still controls the army. He still controls the police. The state bureaucracy is still working for him. And the news agency is still operating for him. Also, I have to say, I'm getting very mixed stories about some of these strikes. Undoubtedly, there are strikes, but it doesn't seem yet that it's yet reached the point of a general strike. But he's clearly losing. He's losing control, and you can partly see why. It's like watching a great actor, you know, 30 years ago, going on with all the same stories and all the same tunes and not realizing that his audience is just not listening to him anymore, because he's talking to them now as if it was still the Belarus of 1994 when he became president, and that, you know, it's still a sort of place which is still very Soviet in some ways. And I don't think he understands that the country, partly because of his own management, has now evolved far beyond him. And he is still fighting, I mean, you know, metaphorically, obviously. But I think he doesn't realize that these words that he's saying are just not gaining traction. Now, I think this point about this opposition leader, you know, offering to step in and become president is extremely important, because there hasn't yet up to this moment been an obvious, clear alternative of who will take over once Lukashenko is gone. And I'm going to say something now about the future for Belarus. And I mean, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I think sooner or later, Lukashenko is indeed going to go. The problem is not, I think, so much the great geopolitical things that people are talking about. One of the striking things about the protests is, for example, there are no EU flags amongst the protesters. There is no obvious desire, as far as I can see, to join NATO. I mean, there's none of that that we saw in Ukraine. The problem is, if Lukashenko goes, because he's been president for such a long time, because he's concentrated so much power in himself, there is a real risk, I think, that we will start to see some kind of a vacuum emerge. None of the opposition leaders look particularly convincing as people. And I'm not sure whether the stability this country has had up till now will be preserved. Having said that, that is a problem for tomorrow or for the day after tomorrow. For the moment, all we can do is wait and watch and see as the situation unfolds. I'm going to say one other thing, which is, I think, a very important one. Lukashenko, again, has tried to play the Russians off, not just against the West, but against his own people. He put in two telephone calls to Putin. He misrepresented the second call as Putin saying to him that Russia would come to his rescue. And I've seen some sites and news sites and media places which ought to know better and perhaps do know better, adopting this thing. If you go to the Russian readout of this conversation on the Kremlin's website, you will see that what Putin said was that as an allied country, Russia would support Belarus if it came under external threat. These are internal disturbances, and the Russians have made it very clear that they're not concerned with them. They're not going to involve themselves in them. They're not going to send their army into Belarus or their riot police into Belarus or the, you know, the polite green men and all that into Belarus to save Lukashenko. They are not invested in him.
Yeah, Lukashenko continues to play games. And I said during a live stream that we did on Belarus, he's worn out his welcome when it comes to playing games, playing the Russians off against the EU, the Russians off against the US and all that stuff. I mean, I think all sides have become very tired with Lukashenko and the games he plays. Alexander, I have to ask you two questions. EU sanctions, the threat of EU sanctions against Belarus, what kind of a role are those playing right now?
Yeah.
And something that a lot of people are talking about and they've actually emailed me about with regards to Belarus, I believe about 2 or 3 weeks ago, maybe longer, the IMF was about to give Belarus close to about $1 billion in aid if Lukashenko made certain changes, and those changes were also related to the CV and the lockdowns. And okay, nothing happened there. It broke off, and Lukashenko presented it as, I'm not going to sell my country off in this type of manner. Can you clear that up as well as to what happened?
Yes.
So EU sanctions and this other news topic with the IMF loans.
Right. The EU sanctions, I think, are just are a complete irrelevance. I'm sorry to say this. The EU is once again playing games and striking poses which don't really mean anything and have no real relevance. I mean, Belarus, as its economy is structured at the moment, is not dependent on the EU. It's dependent on Russia. It's not dependent on the EU. And the sanctions the EU is talking about are sanctions against individuals. They're not sectoral sanctions. They would not affect Belarus significantly at all. What is creating the crisis, the pressure in Belarus, are the people of Belarus themselves going on strike, protesting, demonstrating. You talked about the television stations closing. That's much more important, I think, in this scenario than anything that the EU says or does. That's the first thing. Now, the IMF business was another classic Lukashenko mistake. He was got into this big battle with the Russians at the beginning of this year over a Russian tax maneuver over the oil. The Russians wanted to negotiate with him closer integration for Belarus. He threw a hissy fit about it, as he always does. He then went to the IMF, said to the IMF, well, look, I'm having problems with the Russians, and not just the IMF, but obviously all that the IMF represents, seemed to be negotiating with the IMF in order to gain leverage on the Russians. The Russians were completely unimpressed and completely unmoved. And what it did for him, even though he didn't follow it through, is that it lost him an awful lot of support amongst his working class base. So one of the reasons why all those industrial workers are now striking is because, of course, the man who was supposed to be protecting them and defending them, Lukashenko, the former collective farm manager, was, it seems, willing to consider selling them off to the IMF. So it was another example of how Lukashenko's games have come back to haunt him.
Okay, so he kind of repackaged it to be related to the CV. Was that what happened?
That's right. That's absolutely right. I mean, he obviously took an extreme position on the CV, which is that he basically said, you know, this isn't an issue, and claimed that it wasn't a problem, which, by the way, also lost him support among some people. I mean, he clearly has lost his touch. But the IMF thing was not about the CV ultimately. It was about relations with Russia. He never really wanted to work closely with the Russians. He had some kind of issue with Putin, which I've never really understood. And in the end, as I said, he tried to play off the West and the Russians off against each other, and he's ended up antagonizing both, which is what inevitably and invariably happens, and upsetting a lot of his own people in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. Playing games. My final question to you, Alexander, is Svetlana Tsikhanouskaya.
Yeah.
Now, she's in Lithuania.
Yeah.
What do you make of the fact that she is in Lithuania, number one? Yeah. Number two, I'm going back to your previous point. I'm kind of processing it in my head now. She is not equipped and able to run the government. She's not a politician. She's not a government official.
No.
She's not even remotely close to that world. Nor was her husband, really, who was incarcerated.
He's a blogger.
He's a blogger, the main opposition. No. He wasn't. He's not really prepared to run the country either.
No.
Is the EU, is NATO, is the CIA, I don't know, the US State Department, are they whispering in Svetlana's ear saying, look, tell the people of Belarus, make an announcement that you are ready to run the country now. And when we get rid of this guy, Lukashenko, we'll help you transition out, or we'll figure out something so we can get a proper government in place that we sanction, that we support.
Well, of
course, do you think something like that is happening as she is in Lithuania right now?
I wouldn't be at all surprised. I would say that my own personal view is that, yes, obviously she has a certain measure of goodwill from the people of Belarus, but you're absolutely right. She is completely unfit to run the country. I don't mean that, you know, as a criticism of her. As she said herself, she's not a politician. She doesn't understand the levers of power. She's not a manager. Lukashenko, I'm going to say this for him. He was a good manager. I mean, he ran Belarus like a collective farm manager, which is what he was, very old-fashioned and authoritarian way. But, you know, it worked in a kind of fashion. She's not able to manage anything. That's not what she does. And that's not the nature of her personality. It's not clear that there's anyone else amongst the opposition who's able to fill those roles either. And unfortunately, when there is a vacuum, there are outsiders, dangerous outsiders, with all sorts of dangerous ideas, people, you know, in the CIA, in Lithuania, obviously, in Poland too, all kind, you know, the Soros people, all those sort of people. They may very well want to take a step in, try to create a government around their own ideas. What I will say is this, my own impression is that within the EU itself, despite all the dramas and theatricals, there is a great deal of enlargement fatigue. The president, Macron, Emmanuel Macron, has ruled out EU expansion for, you know, the indefinite future. He said there'll be no more EU admissions, no more admissions into the EU. He blocked now North Macedonia's accession. And I think that people in Germany and in France do not want to see another fight with Russia on, you know, one of these sort of former Soviet republics. So, yes, there are some very dangerous people always out there with their plans, with their schemes. But I think also there will be voices of moderation within the EU, or at least within the, let's not call it the EU, within Europe, who will not want to go down that road. So we will see how it all plays out.
Right. I also want to ask you one other quick comment that came to mind. Mm. I'm sure Russia also has a lot of people embedded throughout the Belarus government.
Of course it does.
So whoever comes into power in Belarus after Lukashenko goes, which I think it's pretty obvious Lukashenko is on his way out sooner or later. The Russians have a lot of people embedded all over the place in Belarus. Absolutely. As well. So it's going to be an interesting, really interesting watching this thing unfold.
Absolutely. One of the major opposition leaders actually fled to Russia. I mean, this isn't widely reported, but I mean, because it's easy to travel from Belarus into Russia. I mean, there's basically no visa controls. So he fled to Russia to escape Lukashenko's police. So there's all that sort of going on too. So yes, and of course, the big factory managers, the industrial people, the military people, the security people, they're all very, very tied into Russia. And, the Russians have their friends in Belarus also. Let us hope for Belarus's sake that there isn't a tug of war and that whatever is sorted out will preserve the stability of the country, because it is a stable place. It's a law-abiding place. It would be a great tragedy if things went badly wrong there. I hope it doesn't happen. It shouldn't do, but with some people who are around, you know, you mentioned some of the names before, CIA and all that, one can never be sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think people looking at this as a Russia-US or Russia-NATO or Russia-EU thing is... I think the danger is the power vacuum.
The danger is the power vacuum, exactly. Which is, you know, is a real one. I mean, that is a problem. I mean, you know, there was this big protest on Sunday, one of the biggest in, you know, possibly the biggest in the history of Minsk. It's very difficult to see exactly who was at the center of it, because there were all kinds of people from all kinds of views there, but no real leader emerging. And that is a concern. I mean, no question about it.
Well, a leader who understands how to run the government.
Well, exactly. I mean,
that's what you're going to need.
But it's what
someone who understands.
That is exactly what you're going to need.
Yeah. All right. We'll be following this story. It's developing fast. All right. Alexander Merkurs, thank you very much, guys. Real quick, subscribe to the channel. Hit that like. Drop us a comment. PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar. Please help us out. Send us something to keep the channel up and running. All right, guys. And also go to the Durant Shop. Pick up
get yourself some mugs, the best mugs in the world. You'll find enameled mugs there too. You'll also find, by the way, amazing shirts, because Alex is expanding our range of shirts, and you'll find the, you know, embroidered hats, and amazing embroidered hats, by the way, and ebooks also. So they're all there, and Alex is absolutely right. You know, we need all this help and support you can give us to run our little channel and to provide you this kind of quality of analysis and reporting, which is what we do.
Yeah. Real quick, I would put up a Belarus magic mug, but I'm not sure what the flag might be.
No, I'm not sure.
I'm holding off on that.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Agreed. All right, guys. Take care.